A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Coming up on this episode of White Wine Question Time. There were much bigger guns than me putting your words out to their audiences. Khloe Kardashian, Toni Collette, Pink. Man, Pink.
Yes.
Pink.
Yes, I know, that was a night. Most people will say they don't consider themselves to enjoy poetry or read it, when actually they are. They're reading it all the time and they're often writing it without realising it as well.
So look, you have already made me cry, Donna.
Sorry.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And this is a brand new midweek mini episode, which sees us not delving into vintage chats from the White Wine Question Time cellar, but instead is bringing you a guest that I discovered online who's subsequently gone on to become, well, the UK's best-selling poet for the last 2 years. When I first saw her words in an Instagram post as we were plunged into the first lockdown, her poem, History Will Remember When the World Stopped, seemed to say and capture everything I was feeling and yet struggling to articulate. And I wasn't the only one. The post went viral and turned writing and poetry from a hobby into a career as a published author for her. During lockdown, having just moved back to Scotland, where she was born and raised with her husband Robert and their two teenage sons, they found themselves unemployed, their business forced to shut, and she started to share her thoughts and angst and worries in a blog that she's established online called Pass It On Ladies, where her ability to always find the right words for every manner of difficult emotional situation saw her online community grow to more than 1 million followers. And it was with their encouragement and support that she self-published 3 books of her work before becoming the subject of a bidding war and signing ultimately with the publisher that she's with now. In fact, she's just published her first book with them, Wild Hope, Healing Words on Dark Days, which saw her become a Sunday Times bestseller. And her words have been shared by the likes of Pink, Toni Collette, James Corden, Lisa Snowden, Khloe Kardashian and Davina McCall, because, well, she speaks for so many of us with her thoughtful prose. But now it's time for her to speak for herself. I'm really excited for you to discover her and to get to know the woman behind the poetry. So let's dial her in. It's Donna Ashworth.
feel quite emotional having listened to that. Wow, how beautifully put. I sound great when you say it all like that. Thank you very much.
Donna, I can't tell you the pressure I felt to find the right words to land you. Because you always find the right words for everyone else.
That's very kind, but so do you. And that voice of yours is like warm honey. So it just adds so much gravitas to everything you say. So wonderful, wonderfully done.
Oh, thank you. And welcome to the pod, because I know you're one of our regular listeners.
Yes, I'm delighted to be here. Like a little dream come true, I can't even begin to tell you. I don't want to be too giddy, but yes, I am giddy.
Well, you DM'd me a while back and said, I don't want to be cheeky and please don't think me rude. And by this point, we'd, by the way, established contact on social media. I'd shared your work first as Ladies Pass It On and then subsequently under your own name when you found the chutzpah to come out from behind the pseudonym.
Yes, yes.
And you said, please forgive me if I'm being bullshy or presumptuous, but if you ever wanted to have me on the podcast, I would be most... delighted. And you said, you know, I've been manifesting three things. You'd manifested Woman's Hour.
Yes.
Where you went on the show. And by the way, millions of shares later went down a storm. You manifested this.
Yeah.
And what was the other one?
Lorraine.
And you've done them all this year. As we sit here on the 15th of December, 2023.
Just got it in at the very last minute. Thank you for making that happen for me.
But Donna, in the words of Reverend Richard Coles, who also introduced you and loved your work, by the way, previous guest on the show.
I love him.
You are that most rare beast. You are rarer than hen's teeth. You are a successful working poet.
I know. When he said that, I thought, gosh, that is a line. You know,
well, most poets are dead before they make money.
Yes. And a lot of people believe that poetry itself is dead. You know, we have this sort of archive of poetry that people dip into for big occasions or funerals, and then a bit of a hiatus where, you know, not too much comes and goes. So it's now on the rise. I'm so delighted to say. It doesn't surprise me that it's on the rise because of the way the world is. I think it's relative. I think it's hand in hand.
Do you know what I think might have given it a pathway to a new audience? Is inspirational quotes. What you've done is put those on steroids.
Yes, I totally agree. It's about changing the format of it slightly to make it more accessible, instantly relatable and attractive to read in your busy day as you're scrolling, because now we read so differently. We scroll. Do. And you know what it's like when you get into that scroll? It's almost like some sort of catatonic state, and an hour can pass and you realise that you've accidentally stumbled onto one reel and now you're 100 in. So we have a different way of consuming information in this day and age. And so poetry, of course, had to come up and evolve with that. Otherwise, it's you know, it will remain in the past. So I think you're absolutely right. Everybody can handle a quote. But if you say to somebody, do you like poetry? Most people will say, no, they don't consider themselves to enjoy poetry or read it, when actually they are. They're reading it all the time and they're often writing it without realising it as well.
Yeah.
I see them do it in the comments. Some of these little comments that people tag their friends in, they're beautiful, the things that they say. They're poetic. And I think it's just about letting people see that actually poetry, you are poetry. You read it every day. You write it. So I think you're bang on with the quotes.
The best-selling author in the UK for the last 2 years.
Wow. It's bonkers. Bonkers. And I try not to think about things like that too much because it takes me into another dimension where I start thinking too deeply about what I'm doing, because I've never done that. The whole thing has been very organic. It's felt really natural. And most importantly, it's never been overwhelming. And it's never not been enjoyable. I've never woken up of a day and gone, oh gosh, I've got to do this again. I wake up every single day and I don't even plan. You know, I might put a few pointers in for seasonal things or so on, but I go with my gut for work on a daily basis. And to be able to do that is, I mean, what more could you want when you're a mum and, you know, you're trying to find that balance in life of work and living? It's all been a joy. So I'm just here. I'm in the moment. I'm enjoying it. Everything's a bonus. And I'm not looking too deeply into the wows of it. But it is nice to...
Which is ironic, because your job now has become looking deeply and into feelings and emotions.
Yes.
And sentiment and sadness and loss and grief. Your ability to, in a really pithy way, signpost loss, for example, grief. You say grief is just love turned inside out. Gosh, you know, even as I say that, I'm swallowing a tear.
Yeah, and it's so true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't grieve if you haven't loved. It's the bittersweet conundrum of life, the whole thing. That's it. You know, the bigger the love,
it's kind of the bigger aftertaste, the grief, isn't it?
Yeah, and every single person in the world will be grieving or is grieving at some point. And that's the one thing that connects everyone.
Yeah.
The human condition to love and to lose. And I'm on a bit of a mission to have it more readily talked about, you know, to not think that you have to dim the lights and darken the atmosphere to introduce the topic of grief, because it should coexist.
And I think culturally, grief manifests itself differently in so many different parts of the world. So you go to Ireland, say, look, you have already made me cry, Donna.
Sorry.
Just talking about this, because you are able to frame it so beautifully. But you go around the world and they grieve in different ways. They celebrate life. And I think your poetry is a really good bridge for that. And I really ummed and ahed about whether or not only did I want to introduce the woman behind the pen to the listeners of this podcast, but did I want to get to know so much about you? Would it take away from my ability to fall into your words?
Yes.
And then, of course, I am Google and I couldn't stop myself. So here we are. But I hope that, you know, many of you, without even realising, listening right now, will have done as I've done. You'll have fallen into Donna's words. And I would really encourage you to just head on over to her Instagram or her Facebook page, where she reads them regularly. And hopefully, having listened to this episode, you'll be able to really understand just the force that she is as she forges her way in the most difficult of territories as a modern day poet. So let me rewind and let's just start where I discovered you and where you were in lockdown, because you were having a really tough time of it, weren't you?
The reason that I write is not because I'm brimming with sunshine. I'm not a positive person. I don't wake up every day and go, hello world, here I come. You know, I don't have cheese to spare. I create the cheesiness. I need it. I've had to learn to handle a very oversensitive, too deeply thinking mind. And I've had to find tools to survive in this world, because it's cutthroat, and people like me who cry at everything and feel everything too deeply are told to chin up, get on with it. I've had that my whole life. So the reason I write is to use that darkness to find perspectives, to flip the perspective of everything that is hard and look for the hope and look for the comfort. So by doing that for myself and by sharing it for other people, it has been the most cathartic thing, because I'm no longer ashamed of the things that I have to work hard to change. I actually see them as being the pillars of the whole, you know, the whole thing, the whole reason why I write. So it's all work, it's all intent, it's all done with purpose. And during the lockdown, I thought to myself, I'm going to struggle here. I don't want to become depressed. I don't want to go under. What can I do to get through this? Because if you've got a very deeply thinking, over-questioning mind and you're sensitive, big catastrophes can really push you over the edge.
Yeah, and away from poetry.
I'll write.
Away from poetry, you'd also just moved back to Scotland, having lived overseas for many years with your husband and your young children. You'd been running a children's nursery as a business, as
a play centre, a soft play, you know, the ball pools. And they were the first, and they were the first to close. I mean, you know, we were still in Manchester when the pandemic hit, where we had the play centre, and we moved to Scotland between the lockdowns. We literally upped and ran and didn't, you know, because we could see another one was imminent. So we just ran, we just moved, we just changed everything. We had to shut our business, so we didn't see it opening anytime soon. We were the first to close, last to open, and it changed absolutely everything. So I thought, I'm going to need a purpose here, or I'm going to sink. And so I self-appointed myself as, you know, a bit of a place to come for hope and comfort, but also acknowledge the hardships and the darkness, not brush over it. You can't become resilient or heal if you brush over what it is that's pulling you down. You must go and sit with it for a minute, and then you can look for the perspectives and pull yourself back up. So I gave myself that job, and it really just it saved me, and everything has gone from that point onwards, and it hasn't stopped. The snowball began between the lockdowns, and it hasn't stopped rolling since.
So you find yourself with a business that's shut and no idea when it might open. It's a family business, so you don't just lose one income, you lose both.
Everything,
Everything. That must have, for somebody that feels things so acutely, that must have been terrifying at times.
It was terrifying, but I feel things really acutely. I feel grief. I feel world. You know, when things are going on in the world, they really affect me more than they should, to the point where people will say, well, okay, but, you know, onwards now. It's been a week and you can't still be crying about somebody you've never met. But I don't worry so much about money, and I have a deep faith in the universe and the way it works.
Really? That's
so for,
isn't it?
So for me, I was able to just instinctively know that there would be another thing coming to us, that we would find what was right. My husband, on the other hand, who doesn't think deeply about anything, really struggled with that, because he is very practical. Well, where is the money? Where is the income? Where is this business you speak of that will find us? So, you know, that's the converse. I don't worry so much about the small stuff. I have found a faith over the years that you get there. These things, you know, that's where the hope comes in. That is what hope is. It's that sort of bridge between what is and what will be.
Well, let's rewind 3 years before we locked down. 2017, you start writing a blog, because words have been your balm over the years, no matter what's happened. And we'll find out a little bit more about your extraordinary twists and turns professionally, because as we listen now, I think people will be quite surprised to know that you have had a lifetime of struggling with your mental health, that you quit university to become a red coat, then a singer on a cruise ship, then you were signed to a record company. All before getting married and working on magazines. So there's a little potted history there of who you are and how creative you are. But the blog Pass It On Ladies, that was just something that you'd started to upload your thoughts, your poetry onto Facebook, and a community congregated, almost church-like, around your words. And that's when you decided to kind of like, I'm going to have to monetize this in lockdown and find a way to publish books, because this is all we've got really to work with.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. When you say it like that, it's true. I didn't expect to gather a following, although I was actively trying to. But this was before poetry. I thought I might start an online magazine, like a blog, like many other people had done. And I thought I'd really like to encourage women to come together, because I'm passionate about what it is to be a woman and how we relate to each other. It doesn't matter what we do for a living, what age we are, which part of the world we come from. We know. We just know. And if you don't know, you don't know. But women know. And I wanted more of that in my life. But I didn't. Poetry came after The poetry just came out of nowhere when I started to write a little bit more deeply. And the following grew and grew. And like you say, I thought, OK, but what do you do with a following? You know, and what am I doing? An online magazine? Would I then approach advertisers or become an influencer, which terrified me because I didn't want to be, I didn't want it to be about me physically as a person or my appearance or anything like that, because I'm not thick-skinned enough for that. So the lockdown convinced me after the poem went really viral that I'm going to make a little book. I'm going to self-publish a little book. And all my followers said, we'll buy it. We'll buy it. And I put it out there via Amazon and they bought it.
And that hundreds gave of thousands me, of copies have been sold.
That gave me so much courage then to go, okay, I'm doing this now. And, you know, why would you not go with that, you know, handed from the ether like a gift? And it's just been carrying on like that. And it's the people who follow me and have followed me from the beginning are like friends. They're so supportive and they're always there. And I've been very honest with them about every step of the journey, the ups and the downs, because that's where the love lives. If you're only sharing the good stuff, yeah, you're not actually helping anybody or giving them...
You're an
them...
associate, not a friend.
Yeah.
Kind
the
of.
Love, the love lives in the ugly truths, you know, because the minute you share it's one, other people go, oh, that's what I need to hear. That's the connection. That makes me feel better or the same or, you know, and it's just... It's just a joy, Kate. It's all just such a joy.
So that one poem, you posted it as Ladies Pass It On. You still hadn't had the conviction to put your name to your work in case, I don't know, what was holding
that back?
I think
by that point, my name was there. And I've been asked this a lot in the last couple of weeks. And I really need to sit down and actually look at my Facebook memories and get the timeline straight. But I think maybe I had just started putting my name to the things that I was writing in time for that poem to go viral, or it was definitely of that time. But seeing it actually go around the world and people reciting it and the NHS and doctors in America and the mayor of Chicago and, you know, seeing it, seeing what words could do in a really difficult time to bring everybody together gave me life. It reminded me why I love writing, why I love words, why they're so important. Because you can put one little thing on Facebook and that little thing can go around the world and bring everybody together in a way that is empowering and makes everybody feel like we've got this, you know, we can do something, we can hope. And that's a thing. To hope is action. You're actively hoping. And we felt useless, didn't we? We felt hopeless.
Oh my God, yeah.
We felt completely redundant. So
I think we felt a lot of things, and we were feeling things and living in a time that we'd never lived through before. So it was really, you know, for somebody to really articulately capture that moment, it was just prime for sharing. And I've just scrolled back actually to our very first message, 20th of March 2020, Donna.
Oh, wow.
Hi, Kate. I'm so pleased you love my poem. I wrote one every day. If you could tag my page, I would be so very grateful. And Ladies Pass It On.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it was still Ladies Pass It On.
And then I said, thank you so much. It made me cry. Such beautiful words, which really did soothe. Whatever you do, keep writing.
And you know what? Can you imagine how that encouraged me? Can you imagine the confidence and the strength that gave me? The women, and you were one of the very first that have encouraged me for no reason. There's absolutely nothing in it for you other than that's just who you are, and you pass that on and it brings people up. And you gave me words that I could put on the cover of my self-published book.
Yes.
Which then allowed other people to feel confident in spending their money on my book, that you had said this was going to be, you know, this was good, this was worth it in a way. Those moments are everything for somebody like me with no qualifications, with no publisher, with no clue of what I'm doing, just instinct. And it also reminded me why the women supporting women, the reason women come together in that way is so powerful. And thank you for that, because I just would have lost the nerve. I would have lost the confidence along the way. I would have the criticism that comes in the early days before you've sort of got that shininess about you that other people have confirmed. I might not have got past it. So thank you, really, from the bottom of my heart.
Well, I'm literally just scrolling through our messages now, and then we get to June 2020. Couple of months on, just a couple of months.
Yeah.
Hi, Kate. I thought you may like to know I turned my poem into a book.
Oh.
A collection of all my poems during the pandemic. I would love to send you one.
Oh.
And I'm like, gosh, wow.
That's really interesting for me, because I really don't. I don't keep timelines in my head. If there's something wrong with my
Instagram, does
my neuropaths. So that's really fascinating. And it was all so fast, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, literally from March.
How did I do that so quickly?
To June. And then we started voice messaging each other. And then, you know what? Aww. It's just been a pleasure, Donna, to sit back and watch you fly.
I feel quite emotional now. I'm going to have to take a breath. You're so adorable. Thank you. Thank you.
But listen, you say I was one of the first to share. I really wasn't, because there were much bigger guns than me putting your words out to their audiences. Khloe Kardashian, Toni Collette, Pink. Man, Pink.
Yes.
Pink.
Yes, I know. That was a night. That was only maybe a month or so ago. She shared it on her stories. And this morning I've just been Instagram messaging the amazing Evangeline Lilly, who tagged me and shared something of mine. I'm just a huge fan of hers. So, you know, you can't quite believe. That's the power of Instagram as well. You get to meet people.
That's why you're a very modern poet, right?
Because
you've taken your words into the most modern of spaces. And I mean, listen, you don't need a publisher. You published yourself. Then you become the subject of a bidding war. How exciting.
I mean, to be honest, I was completely clueless throughout all of that. Honestly, completely clueless. You know, it's not great when you just do. I mean, instinct is powerful and I rely on it heavily, which is just as well, because I live in the hills of Scotland. You know, I'm in my office most of the time. Occasionally I fly to London and do exciting things. But for the most part, it's me and my dogs here. And I'm just writing and making it up as I go along and enjoying it. So the business side of it is a learning curve. And I have been in business many times in my life, so it's all coming back to me a bit. But the creativity and the business side, you know, it's hard to marry the two and find a nice harmony. And I like to
kind
keep
of
it.
Oil and water, aren't they?
I like
but
to
they
keep,
have to learn to coexist.
It's tricky, isn't it?
You, if you want to eat.
If you want to eat, exactly. And you don't want to be one of these people who had a book once and then didn't manage to sort of build something long-term out of it. You know, I was reading a thread on Threads this morning about authors who said that we were crazy successful 10 years ago and we can't get a book out now. And I feel like industries chew people up and spit them out a lot of the time. It happened to me in the music industry badly. So that is at the forefront of my mind as well. You know, this is not about the industries. This is not about powerful companies becoming more powerful. This is about words and organic connections between real people doing real jobs and supporting each other. So I keep that going.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
What you created with that community is something that actually a publisher can't do for you. They can't create authenticity and genuine connection and that shareability. They can buy ads and they can do some great, you know, SEO, and they can throw money at it.
Yeah.
But what you achieved is kind of priceless. And I think that's the way publishing and music is going now, is that you almost have to build your own community before they'll put some money behind it.
100%. When I was in the music industry, I wasn't really... I got signed to management. I never got a record deal. There was no internet, Kate. you couldn't go on TikTok and play your tunes. You had to have a record deal, get on the radio.
Yeah.
There was no other way. And, you know, there's such a small percentage of people who actually achieve that. Whereas nowadays, the world's your stage. If you can do it, if you can dream it, if you can go for it, you can gather your following.
Yeah.
And I think that's really exciting, because so many talented people, not just singers or writers, but people doing the randomest things, mm-hmm. and they are brilliant. They're doing it so brilliantly that we are entertained. They're fulfilling a job
on
we didn't
so
know existed.
Levels. I know there's a lot of people that kind of, you know, rub their hands together and say, well, the internet, it's ruined everything. I think it's created so many self-starting opportunities in so many ways. Listen, you know, it comes with its own set of gripes, and there's plenty to complain about, but fundamentally... You know, without the internet, I wouldn't be sat here talking to you now on my own show
I wouldn't be published.
No.
And that is the bare bones of it. And, you know...
And we're not young guns, by the way. We are midlife women who are juggling families. We've had multiple identities professionally.
Yeah.
And
which is also a really good point. You know, the fact that as women... I mean, I'm 48 now, soon to be 49. And you're never... set or done. There's never any end to the new chapters. And I think we're led to believe that you've very much made your choices by middle age, and that's who you are. And I can't say it enough times, this is who you are now. But, you know, there are so many chapters ahead of you. And actually, it's a whole new book, because you're coming at it from such a place of inner peace in comparison to what we knew in our 20s and 30s.
Oh,
it was just
goodness.
Chaos, wasn't it? So,
but I think also, I mean, you and I have got children of a similar age.
Yeah, 15. My eldest is 15.
Yeah, and mine's
15. Your son's 15.
Yeah, and you get to that stage now where I can see a new dawn for me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't frighten me. And It absolutely thrills me. I think, right, next act.
Yes,
what
exactly.
am I going to do?
Next
Where
act.
Am I going to go? I'm
next
excited.
Chapter.
I don't feel done in
I
any
don't
way.
Feel, I have never felt more.
But I do feel different.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm determined that this next part of my life is going to be enjoyed properly. Actually present, you know, none of this worrying about what people think of me, or you know, am I fitting in everybody's standards or what I should be. All of that is staying in my 30s and my 20s, and going forward thinking about the women that were ahead of me and how they inspire me, and how I might inspire the women coming up behind, drives me on a daily basis. So I want to get this right in terms of, am I showing you that, yes, things are really difficult, nothing's ever perfect, you will be judged, you will be criticised, and don't believe for a minute that people are doing it better than you are, because that's not true, that's just a perception. Here is what it really is. And whilst there are negatives to that, it's actually really positive, because once you take away that mask of perfectionism and say, you know, no, actually, here are all the ugly truths, but, you know, this is living. This is what it's like. You break if you, many
if
times.
You just take the word ugly away. It's just the truth.
Yeah, it's just truths.
Who says it's ugly?
Yeah, well, society, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are here to say that actually there's beauty in absolutely everything, and nobody's getting it right 100% of the time, and nobody, no matter what it looks like from the outside in, is Instagram perfect. And I don't know about you, but I'm seeing a huge change in what people share. Such realness now, such actually this is what is behind the shine, but yeah, you can still shine.
I shine, you know? I scroll past the shine though, because it just doesn't speak to me.
No.
And I don't know if I'm a bit too shiny myself sometimes. I don't know. Shiny, do you know what? To be honest, I don't really overthink what I share. I just post.
Exactly. And you can be shiny and real at the same time, because I don't know about you, but I love the sparkle and the shine, and I love that about other people. As long as we're being real about, you know, this is how life actually is, day to day in reality. You know, we all have our struggles, but you can still be shiny. And I think it's the same with the grief and the sadness and the loneliness and the joy. They coexist, and they should coexist every day, sometimes in the same 5-minute period. I can feel all of them.
Yeah.
And I used to panic and think there's something wrong with me. You shouldn't be up and down. You should be graceful all the time. And now I know that, you know, if you're not feeling it all, you're not paying attention. You know, this is the world that we live in. It's life. That's is how it should be. So, yeah, I'm looking forward
and
to
also,
the next bit.
Without those frailties, without those difficult moments, without having to dig yourself out of a ditch in life, you wouldn't be able to write as you do now. Before I let you go, I just wondered if you would mind sharing with me some of your difficulties, because only because I just think that certainly that a lot of the women that listen to this podcast and men at this life stage struggle with their mental health.
Yeah.
Certainly in menopause and perimenopause for women, it can be a time when you just don't know your own mind. And I know that you have definitely experienced that at all points across your life.
Yeah.
And I just want people to hear you as you are now, knowing that better, brighter times can be found in a difficult
100%.
Mind.
I think a lot of women, like you say, experience it for the first time in menopause. Mm. And I've lived with it my whole life, this very complicated mental health relationship. And it's only now I can look back and see. At the time, we didn't talk about it. As a teenager, I was very anorexic. Now, we knew what that was, but there was little help for it. Mm. But we didn't equate it to, this is a mental health, this is a symptom of a deeper struggle.
Did you not? So how, can I ask you, because we're pretty much of a similar age, and I too was a teenage anorexic.
Yeah.
And my lifeline came via a GP who just talked to me. I had talking therapy. I didn't have access to a therapist. And I had this amazing doctor who sat and said to me, you know that this is a mental health issue, and tried to explain it to my parents, because my dad couldn't understand why I just wouldn't
eat. Wonderful that you had that.
I was so lucky, Donna. And it was so inspiring to me that I eventually went into therapy, and again in later life, and then again in later life when I became a single parent and had really used therapy as a tool to get me through my sadness.
Yeah.
I then went and qualified as a counsellor.
Wow.
So that I can do it for others.
That's amazing.
Eventually.
I didn't know that about you. Mm. That's fantastic. My GP told me eat more. He put me on the scales and he said, half a stone, come back.
Imagine putting an anorexic on scales now.
I know. And
it's
lighting
a crack pipe for a crackhead.
I had drunk so much water, pints and pints, to try and be heavier.
To bulk you out.
So my mum, being the amazing person that she is, thought, okay, we're on our own here. She was very young. My mum's only 20 years older than me. So we went down a spiritual path. We went down the Reiki, the self-help, the Louise Hay. And had I not done that, you know, I don't know what would have happened to me. So I
very
was...
Very forward thinking of your mum. Really.
Very, but we had to order all the books from America. There was no books that could make me think other people were like me. But the Louise Hay...
Well, the only person that was like us, that we knew of, was Lena Zavaroni or Karen Carpenter.
Yes.
That's it. That's
and
the
that
only
was a
references.
Tragic tale.
And they died, right?
Yeah.
And then when you say you have to order a book from America, that can take weeks to come.
Yeah.
Sometimes weeks is not what you have.
Yeah. And I wrote, I wish I knew. for the 17-year-old me that at that point in time, and everything that I needed then is in there. So I've come at it not from a therapist or a trained way, but from a spiritual side.
Which and is then, much of course, the same, by the way.
It works out very similarly. And I've had to then, like you, I've had to use it. You get to a point where you're doing it actively every day without thinking about it, and then you hit hard times and you need to do it again. And in my 20s, I became very anorexic again, and then I had to get through it again. And then there are other things that we face where you go into, I realise now, bouts of depression. I never wanted to label myself as somebody who was depressed, but I can see it now looking back.
Yeah.
And still now, you know, and that's something that was, you have to come to terms with. It doesn't make you less of a person to say that you suffer with depression. It just means, it just puts you together more in more sense for yourself. So, yeah, so I came at it from that whole holistic side. And then I've practiced it now for, 30 years. So the poetry that I write is from learning to live with my own mental health issues and the whole
kind of journaling,
eating disorder.
It's what they call journaling now, right? It's you putting you down on the page.
Exactly.
I always found it very helpful to do that because I was able to look at myself in that way. But in a time when I actually couldn't look at myself physically.
Yeah. You almost have to admit it. You can't write a lie, can you? You can't write a lie in your journal.
No.
You can start to do it, but it's like you're stopped. You have to be honest.
And the thing is, I think when you are in the grips of that illness, you're lying to everybody, but fundamentally, you don't lie to yourself. I didn't.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say to that is that what I took from my eating disorders and the challenges that I put my mind and body through was that I learned that I'm capable of extraordinary strength, right?
Yeah.
Because it took strength to deprive myself in that way.
The hardest.
And it took greater strength to rebuild. And every time that I have struggled in life, I've always remembered that I got through that. And I applied that willpower to really positive ways.
Yeah.
So I remember failing a lot of tests at school and the vanity of not being able to get out of that small town and up to London to become the journalist that I wanted to be. There was a vanity to that for me. When somebody told me that you're going to compromise your ability to be a professional woman, and I really wanted to have a career, nobody I knew did, and I really wanted that was all I needed to hear. That was my penny drop, right? And I thought, right, all of that willpower that I wrap around this twisted illness, I'm going to wrap around my professional self. And I was editor of Smash Hits by the age of 21.
I know.
With that drive, you know? So sometimes what feels like a disorder can be your greatest
the passion
strength. Wear
behind
it like
it.
A cape.
The power and the passion behind that, and you're putting it into negative purposes. Mm. If you can turn it to positive, there's no stopping you.
So don't think of somebody with a mental illness as a weak person, is what I'm saying.
No, definitely. We're seeing that now. Mm. But I was told that I'll never make it in the music industry because I was so thin, and it didn't wobble me. It did not stop me. You know, so I can see now how deeply entrenched I was, that I was so desperate because I wrote all my own songs. I wanted those words in the world. It was the lyrics. And I still couldn't get rid of this lock that this eating disorder had on me. I couldn't get out of it. Mm. But somebody asked me the other day, and I wondered if you don't mind me asking you, do you feel that you're through it now? You are cured. If there is such a thing, are you cured of eating disorders?
For the last 30 years, I would have said yes. I think when menopause hits and suddenly this weight gain comes from nowhere that you can't control.
Yeah.
I realised that, and I'm not saying that in any way that I'm back in the grips of an eating disorder, but I realise now I've always controlled my weight.
Yeah.
By being really healthy and working out a lot.
Right? Yeah.
And for a long time, I was able to eat pretty much whatever I like. I can't do that now. My body just doesn't respond to that. I think I'll get back to myself. And in my kinder days, I just go, Kate, your body is going through extraordinary change. The last time it was trying to go through puberty, you starved it to death. Just sit with it. And that's what I'm trying to do. And I am trying to learn to be okay with it. But it's the first time I've struggled since I was 17 years old.
Yeah. I think it was a really interesting question for me the other day, because I always say yes, I'm through it. I'm completely through it. I eat what I want, but I make healthy choices in that I'll eat things that are really quite fattening because they're good for me. That for me is a sign that you're in a healthy place.
Oh, yeah.
But then I realised that actually it's always going to be a part of me. It's always going to, and saying that you're through it is, it's not that simple. You have to sort of, you have to understand it's always there waiting in the wings for a moment.
It's not that you're through it, you're just not in it.
Yeah. And it's kind of part of, I don't know, it's kind of, I feel like you always have to be mindful that vulnerable moments, and the menopause is a huge one in so many ways, that you have to be careful not to...
Because it's come along at the same time. I always say that menopause is a bit like... it's like puberty reversing up the drive.
It's kind of a weird way of saying it.
And it really is. But I think, you know, until I hit that, I kind of knew, you know, I'd spent a lot of time getting to like myself. And I'd done a lot of time in therapy, studying to become a therapist. And then menopause came along and kind of knocked me off my perch, really. I didn't like who I was anymore. I didn't know who I was anymore. I was an angry, weeping, forgetful, hot mess.
Yeah.
And with that came all kinds of mental changes, physical changes. And then I educated myself on it. And I think for the first 2 or 3 years of perimenopause, I attacked it. And I've stopped being so aggressive with it now.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to be a bit kinder to myself. And I know it will pass. And the one thing that I did that was so good for me was I talked to women who are on the other side of it. I didn't just sit with the crowd that are in it with me. Let's look over the hill. Let's see. Oh, there's a light.
So
there's
important.
The tunnel. There's the end of the... Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
Just wait. And I know that if I'd have just been patient in puberty with my body,
I wouldn't have
ended up where I did.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do
it. The same.
Yeah.
That is such good advice. That is such good advice.
Oh, thanks.
That's really just landed with me, because I spoke to somebody. I had to give up alcohol this year.
Same. Well, I very rarely drink now. I mean, literally only out in company, and even then I'll probably be driving or...
Yeah.
It's just not my friend
not
in the
working.
Way it used to.
It's
Suddenly
the same.
it's become lady petrol.
It really, you're coming out with some.
Should be a poet, Donna. Watch yourself.
I will be writing after this and you'll be like, oh, that sounds familiar. I loved that Tamsin had alcohol-free fizz at the We Free Women charity event.
Yes,
that
which
was
is where we met
all
for
night
the first
long
time very recently.
In real life, because that made me feel completely like I was part of it and up on the dance floor with your little glass of fizz. But for me, it's just not been metabolising in so many ways, you know. And this woman said to me, I think you, an older woman said, you've done absolutely the right thing, but never say never, she said. You know, I did that and then at about 55, everything changes again.
Yeah.
And suddenly your chemicals and your hormones are all in a new phase, and you can decide then how you go on. And there was something about that just, it took a weight off my shoulders that I don't have to say, that's me. You know what I mean? I've changed. I need to keep reminding myself. This, of course, like everything, you're going to change again, you know. And so you must keep looking over the hill at the women that are ahead of you. That's such good advice. Such good advice.
Donna, thank you so much for coming on. How has your white wine question time been?
I've loved it. I knew that I would. In fact, I forgot we were even doing it. We've just been having such a lovely chat. I've been so invested in everything you're saying.
Oh, that's so
I feel
nice
like
to
I've
hear.
I feel like I've come away with some things today as well. So thank you.
Great.
You've
Please
given me
feel
food
free
for thought.
To take anything that we've discussed and put it
taking it
and,
into
because
poetry.
Honestly, that would be a great honour. It really
yes,
would.
Yes. Well, watch the space.
And your book is available in all good bookshops.
It is.
And on Amazon. Yes. But you know what? Please, if you have the inclination to go and buy this and you live near a local bookshop, go and buy it from them. It's such a lovely thing to do.
It
really does support the ethos of so many of your brilliant poems.
Yes, it does.
Donna Ashworth, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, how wonderful was that? Donna Ashworth. Lovely to finally meet the woman behind the poetry. And we have back catalogue episodes waiting for you with some of the fantastic women that she mentioned there. So Tamsin Athwaite talking about We Free Women and her experiences through perimenopause and intermenopause. That's available, as is chats with Denise Welsh, who introduced me to Donna and her wise words in the first place. I'll be back on Friday with a brand new episode. Until then, do let us know if you like this idea of us dropping a little mini episode on a Tuesday with somebody new that maybe hadn't figured on your radar. And if you do, who else would you like to hear? Thanks for listening.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.